one for you. Happy day, Edwin Hawkins singers. That's what my attorney was singing last night when I told him that someday I'd quit doing this website. Says everything will be a lot safer. It's probably true. Friday the 13th. Off to a real slow start today, but that's all right. You know, last night I don't know, should I say it this way? It was fun, wasn't it? By the way, I did not throw a CD on the floor. I would never do that. Was I really annoyed? You bet. Why? The expectations thing. There's anything I've learned about myself lately is that the lessons to be learned are found in the oddest places and ways, and last night was one of them. And it's not like I think broadcasters shouldn't be responsible for what they say. Clearly I do. And just like last night, there wasn't anything I said that I didn't have substantiation for. Really? So how can I explain that tantrum? And after all, you know, there was a certain aggressiveness and intensity to it that couldn't have possibly done anything but upset people. Well, see, this will be somewhat abstract, but I think you'll get it in a minute. I'll start by saying that I get this email newsletter from a really cool website called space.com. It just started coming a few months back. I get a lot of stuff like that. The other day I sent an email to someone and said it was from me, friend of Zeus, and I was just joking. So then I get this newsletter from space.com, and it's got a story about how the Hubble spies a soft rose in a tough neighborhood. And when you get to the website, it tells you about this picture taken by the Hubble telescope, fitted with some new equipment that allows it to take better pictures. And they say this picture looks like a rose, but if you turn your head sideways, weighs about 120 degrees to the left, or at least when I do, I see a lion or a monkey face or something like that. It's all in how you look at it and what you're listening for. I complain a lot about propaganda. That word has been so overused and distorted that it's nearly meaningless anymore. Like I've said before, we started using the word spin, which sounds a lot more fun and honorable than lying or exaggerating or committing sins of omission or propaganda. And yet, using the dictionary definition, almost everything designed to persuade you, good or bad, is propaganda. Whether it's good or bad or not is subjective, purely subjective. And then there's this part about it that's about misdirection, like in the movie Swordfish. Tell them one thing, do something else. Last night I talked about expectations and integrity, and today, searching for the words to say, I came across something else. It seems that PBS is doing an interesting program called Endgame, Ethics and Values in America. And it poses a number of interesting circumstances and scenarios to test your view of your own integrity. It looks neat. It starts September 18th, and I would recommend it. But wait, there's more. My annoyance and impatience clearly gave what I was saying last night more weight than if I had calmly presented information. And that sort of leads me to where I'm going. But first, I'll apologize to all those I upset last night, as long as you learn something from it as well. Did you notice your reaction to it? You should, because it's the same reaction people have when you aren't being completely straight with other people. It's like me calling Donald Rumsfeld Donnie. I'm sure it's viewed as a sign of disrespect, but it's really not. I actually like his sense of humor, and if it wasn't for the fact that I disagree with his politics, he and I could have some fun. I'll bet he is or was a musician, probably the piano. And even though we disagree, inside of a down-to-earth business discussion, he and I could still get a lot of work done, and possibly find ways to resolve things differently. Since I'm laying off MSNBC's Chris Matthews right now, I figure I may as well dicker with one of the most powerful and, I think, intelligent men in the world. And you're probably thinking, where is he going with this one? Well, by the way, Mr. Rumsfeld, the song today by the Bee Gees is for you. I hope you get a kick out of it. It's meant to be fun. As I always say, I have this here little website, and you've got mass media. I think it's fair. Let's see, Thursday, there was an excellent debate going on about the Iraq situation, or from their point of view, the United States problem, the UN problem, the sanctions problems that have led to the deaths of more than 1.5 million Iraqi citizens, and large profits for Halliburton. For some of my favorite discussions, such as Scott Ritter and Richard Butler, former weapons inspectors to Iraq, go to the transcript from yesterday, CNN's Newsnight with Aaron Brown. The truth is, almost everything I saw yesterday on CNN's programs were pretty incredible, as well as Buchanan and Press on MSNBC, which you should also check out. Anyway, the point of that was to preface the fact that Scott Ritter has hit the airwaves in a pretty big way, talking about alternatives to war, dealing with the realities of Hussein's likely stockpile of weapons, how it's unlikely that Iraq could manufacture a weapon capable of threatening the United States before at least 2005. And Richard Butler, instead of answering questions about the issues at hand, spends his time evading questions and instead turns his remarks toward the purpose of reducing Ritter's credibility as a person and as a weapons inspector. As always, the Washington game, the political game, is to avoid tough questions by ridiculing one's opponent as if it was a high school debate. Instead of the seriousness of a war which would cost this country billions of dollars we can't afford and kill probably thousands of Iraqis. And so far, I have not heard one person provide a credible reason why we need to move to a war stance with urgency. I hear a lot of ifs. I hear that you're going to consult, but then all I hear is that you keep presenting your case. I hear of no other considerations. The most intelligent discussions actually came from George Bush and Lou Dobbs. Watch a few people go, huh, on that remark. Can't wait. That one. Anyway, George pointed the finger at the UN for not holding Hussein to the resolutions. Kofi Annan asked for an apology for the UN. Lou Dobbs said that the UN should apologize to us for putting us in the position to issue an ultimatum. And Scott Ritter says there are alternatives, and it ultimately comes down to Hussein submitting to real inspections and the UN enforcing them. And you know what, everybody? I just mentioned they're all right. Every one of them, everybody, including Saddam Hussein and Tariq Aziz, who say that Iraq has a right to its sovereignty. And everybody owes everybody an apology. Everybody, but we don't do that, or if we do, somebody else has to say it first. And that's not going to happen because in the world of politics today, we're not really allowed to have open discussions, to have second thoughts. Everything, in one way or the other, good or bad, right or wrong, doesn't matter. It's like the marijuana issue. As I've always said, I'm not an advocate. I just don't think it's wrong. And it's got its legitimate uses. And I really think drinking alcohol can be a very bad thing. But you'd find it interesting to know that I really enjoy winemaking. Really, I've been making wine since I was 14 years old. I just find it interesting. And wine, when made well and allowed to ferment properly, tastes really good. I have this recipe for Washington State salmon berries that will produce some of the best burgundy you've ever tasted. I also make beer from an old German recipe. And you should see what I do with Washington State delicious apples. It's like eating the essence of the apple. And it takes a year and a half to brew. That's the light, delicate taste coming through. But I make 4 to 6 bottles at a time and usually give away all but one or two. I'm one of those people who still likes to make gifts for my friends. And as long as it won't harm them, I really don't mind if they drink at all. But if we're going to talk in terms of black and white, one way or the other, I think people would be much better off smoking marijuana. But in moderation, either is fine. And I personally don't like the taste of alcohol, but good wine and liquor doesn't have that green taste. You might also find it interesting that on the rare occasions I do have a drink, I prefer Seagram's. But it's rare. Now it's the stock go up on Seagram's. Anyway, but that kind of conversation isn't polarizing. It's not exciting. It doesn't cause voters to vote in a certain way. It leaves it to them to make up their own minds. And that eventually means more campaign financing for people who have to campaign and refuse to lose. It's a lot easier to put people in the position of choosing one way or the other and to use the veil of the facade of righteousness, which, interestingly enough, is referred to in almost exactly the same terms in the Bible to describe what's going on in the world today. Anyway, to use that righteous indignation, the half-truths, the lies, the propaganda to defeat an opponent for all the wrong reasons. By the way, I'm instructed to tell you that that's wrong, even though the people doing it won't listen. It's in the Bible. I heard Henry Kissinger, who I respect a great deal, whether I agree with his politics or not, he said, in reference to Germany's position on attacking Iraq, that the people of Germany aren't in favor of it, and Schroeder's in the midst of an election. And the implication was that Schroeder couldn't tell the truth about his position because he would lose the election. And anyone could understand that remark, huh? But aren't elections supposed to be about learning how a politician views things? The ideas they're bringing to the table so that citizens can actually make a choice about who they want to represent them? I know it's an old-fashioned, naive concept, but am I wrong? Am I wrong to expect my supposed leaders to respect democracy? Am I wrong to expect leaders to lay out the options? Not just their transparent agenda that sounds palatable in the public's view. You know, there's a difference between leadership and dictatorship. Every person on this planet has a variety of ideas and opinions on nearly every subject. That's part of being human. But we're not allowed to expose those differing views, to have an open discussion, without being judged as weak or wishy-washy. And instead of providing a variety of options and seeking input, what we get are well-choreographed propaganda campaigns aimed not at a public discourse, but to take a certain position. The problem with that is the American people are not as naive as they were when the history books used as reference guide for today's warmongering were written. Our government has tricked us enough times that even the most recalcitrant people eventually come around. And I actually applaud the Bush administration for taking the case to the United Nations, so long as they don't use it as an excuse. But all the finger-pointing in the world, all the projections about if somebody gave Iraq everything they needed and told them which button to push is all pie in the sky. And it certainly doesn't equate to an immediate need to declare war. And you could say, but people have been discussing the options on TV and in the newspapers. The only thing that it does is attempt to sway the public with spin. What good does it do when the government isn't listening? Just keeps us busy while more apparent election fraud is occurring in Florida, supposedly caused by Democrats who just happened to be Republicans a few years back, making it all look very, very fishy again, and the passing of the buck by those people who are ultimately responsible, like Jeb. Remember Jeb? Anything to cause misdirection on the fact that Bush is trying to sneak through the new forest management policies and changing the secrecy rules on pardons so that people won't know who's being set free and why, while the rules are being changed on governmental continuity. But even worse, it's kind of ballsy to go to the UN and claim Iraq is bad for breaking the terms of numerous resolutions when the United States, the Bush administration, is refusing to comply with numerous agreements it's made with the United Nations itself. It's called hypocrisy. And all the arguments in the world can be made either way, all the polarizing arguments, but until the leaders of this country are actually willing to acknowledge and discuss all the layers and textures of the issues, then, and I really hate to put it this way, but unless we have an environment where issues can actually be discussed openly, then the American people have little reason to trust anything we hear, because we know that what's being presented is being done in such a way as to persuade us, not inform us. To me, that doesn't make for good leadership. So saying things like this or that is unacceptable, or that Arafat has done nothing to earn my respect, well, frankly, for me, neither has George Bush. So why should I hold George Bush's views as more valid than Yasser Arafat's? Why should I believe George Bush over Saddam Hussein? It seems to me that the opponents of an Iraqi invasion are presenting a more rational approach. I've said it before, I don't always rule out war, there's just better be a darned good reason for it, and all the other options had better be explored. I mean really explore it. I don't mean given lip service. Otherwise, we're just murdering people for the sake of expediency. Iraqis and Americans and people of any other country involved, it's murder. I'm kind of tired of the song Blowing in the Wind, but I'll sing it a million more times if that's what it takes to stop the world's leaders from acting like 8-year-old kids, getting on the bully pulpit and throwing tantrums and calling it the enunciation of national and global policy. It just isn't that. What it is 100 times more irresponsible as what I did last night. And my understanding is it made the Bush administration mad. Imagine how the American people feel to hear that kind of stuff from the same people who stole a nation by cheating in an election. Day in, day out. We hear it, we're tired about it, and then they get frustrated because we don't just go along anymore. And so it becomes like Dennis Kucinich's Department of Peace. The term isn't as catchy as Homeland Security. The fact that a Department of Peace in concept makes a lot of sense really doesn't matter, because we don't evaluate ideas and weigh evidence anymore. We dominate until we achieve compliance, and it's wrong. Which is why I started this website, to change the future of public discussion, to return us to the conversation of democracy. And ultimately, according to the Bible, I win. I think I've made my point. Last night on Larry King and Richards, the former governor of Texas, had some great things to say about civil liberties and freedom. I highly recommend that people take a look at the transcript in this link. I know I'm running long, so I'm going to wrap it up. Tomorrow I'm going to do a more comprehensive news-based report to catch up on some issues and events. Till then, Donnie, this one's for you. And if it makes you feel better, you can call me Chucky, or if you want to needle me, call me Ground Chuck. But that's a wrap. Y'all have a great night. These are the Bee Gees, followed by Prince, on democraticfundamentalism.org.